It's Inc. 5000 time again this year, and that means time to look at everyone's social media posts gloating about, wow, how they made it to Inc. 5000 list. You know what I care about? The people who make it year after year after year. Consistency is what kills in this business. So I brought in Tom Gimbel, CEO and founder of 11 straight Inc. 5000 award winner LaSalle Network, in to talk a little bit more about what it takes to build a sustainable business, scale it to San Francisco and Chicago, and more importantly, what it takes for you to hire the right people so that your company has the right values. Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Joining me is my good friend, LaSalle Network CEO, Tom Gimbel.
Good to be with you, Scott.
Every time I talk to you, I think it's around this time. It is Inc. 1000, 5000, 101 time, 11 years consecutively. You keep rolling right up the radar.
Well, thank you.
Offline, you mentioned one tidbit that I thought was a great way to start the show. Yeah. That less than 20% of the companies that make the Inc. 1000, 5000 lists, whatever they are, they do not rank when it comes to culture.
Yep.
You guys are 11 straight years, not just 11 years, 11 straight years of making the list. And culture-wise, it's like literally where you hang your hat.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because success hides a lot of problems. And so when you have high-growth companies, the culture is, we're just moving fast and crushing it and getting numbers and raising money and getting clients. And you're happy because you're winning.
It's the Wolf of Wall Street. It's great. Right. Yeah, we're throwing midgets around. It's fine.
Yeah, but are you really, right? You drive home with a hangover at 3 in the afternoon. Are you really happy? And at the end of the day, I want to go to the midget party.
When you put it that way, I felt that way. So I was on, this is a total sidebar, and we can edit it out if you want. Yeah. But we had a big week last week. I was at like four different events. I spoke at a bunch of events, and it takes its toll. So by the end of the week, I was very run down.
It wears on you.
And I felt like, as I started going to the Thursday's events, it was like, I'm two drinks in, I'm smashed.
Yep.
I'm like, I have to take a stage, what the hell?
Well, you're sitting there. Fun. Well, it's one of these things that you're having fun, but when it ends, it is almost like a movie, right? That Sunday or Monday or whenever it is, you're lying there and you're like, I actually have to go work.
Yeah.
And I have to produce product.
It's like 280 emails that I didn't respond to.
And what am
I
doing?
Drunk.
And you're sitting there going, what makes me happy?
Yeah.
And when you're in a high growth company, especially if you got private equity money, which we don't, I own the company. Yeah. But if you're a private equity backed company, they're pushing, go, go, go. And it's an adrenaline rush.
Yep.
And it's almost like being in a heavyweight fight. You're going for 15 rounds. Well, if you win, you might be champion of the world, but your body's banged up beyond belief.
Yep.
And if you lose, what did you get out of it?
Yep.
And so what we try to do is say, we want to create a place where we're going really hard, but we're also acknowledging what's going on in people's lives and creating a place where it's got a familial aspect to it.
Sure.
I don't like to overemphasize family because people do get fired and you can't.
Yeah.
I've tried to I've tried to fire some aunts and uncles in my life. You can't do that.
I've been there. I've definitely been there. And I'll tell you this story because it's funny and you can sort of give me your take as a person who deals a lot in the culture. And these are mistakes that I think actually are really valuable for people, especially if you're starting a company now. My first company I started, I had a friend from graduate school that I joined, and I knew him well enough in that we spent 2 years together working on stuff. But I didn't realize how lazy, and I didn't quite realize how much marijuana played a role in his life.
Yep.
In college, you're sort of like, whatever, like you don't pay attention to that. It's like, whatever, man, just do your stuff. And I also brought on a friend of mine since childhood. And the friend actually was going through he's a lawyer by trade and all these things, but he was having some financial issues. And so I let him, like, not only did I bring him on, he's a brilliant guy, but I let him move in to my house. It's like, you know what? I can't pay you right now,
disaster.
Right?
Recipe for
disaster. I'll just cut this story very short. He was fired and had to find a new home the same day.
Yeah.
It was because it's just, you think of, like, I don't know. It's important that people feel like they're a part of it, but they can't feel like they're irreplaceably.
The most overused phrase is quality people associate with quality people.
Yeah, and not true.
Not true to the fact of being a quality person and being a quality employee are two very different things. And where somebody's brain clicks on being a friend and where it clicks on delivering a product, a service, an offering are very different.
Yeah.
And somebody thinks, hey, I'll pick you up at the airport at 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? At 5:30, I want to go home.
Yeah.
Those are two very different skill sets.
For sure.
And so you got to be very careful on the types of people you hire And whenever you hire a friend, is to say, let's make sure we address. You have to have a what's it called when you get married?
Oh yeah, the meeting where they
you got to
like,
have the agreement
air grievances.
Before. Yeah, yeah, and you got to have the.
By the way, I don't think I'm going to get out of.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure
you're getting married, aren't you?
No, well, it just seems that way.
I see a lot of pictures of you.
Yeah,
on social
I know
media.
We're having a great time. I'm sure that that's the next step here. So I'm told every day, but. That air the grievances, I'm quite honestly, I'm very worried that similar to the air the grievances we have with my own team,
yeah.
That moment with the priest or whatever is going to be
yep.
a tough one for me.
I think
me.
It's a tough one, right?
That's a come to Jesus moment, literally.
But you got, yeah, literally. But you got real issues, and if you're going to have a growth company that stays, and I think that's what I'm most proud of, Scott, yeah. is 11 years of growth on this Inc. list, is that anybody can put, not anybody, but yeah. putting together one or two or three great years. But 11 is, it kind of, to quote, you know, Jim Collins in Good to Great, it's that consistency yeah. pattern. And I think that's why people want to stay at our company.
That's why anyone would watch the Spurs.
Right.
They're not exciting, although you make it more exciting than the average,
right.
than Pop probably does. But
yeah.
but the idea that, you know, what is exciting to me for working for LaSalle, I don't work for LaSalle,
right.
but if I did, would be the fact that I get up every day and I know that consistency is there. And that's that. I think that's the family fabric that.
And
people
I think it's
miss.
Right. Those guys are the Patriots or Alabama, and, yep. and when you talk about the people that are there, it wasn't always that great day in and day out.
I'm taking Alabama.
At the end of the season, you look back and you go, "It was worth it."
Yeah.
And I think that's what people want out of their career. And instead, everyone's talking, "Oh, bring your dog to work. Wear flip flops. Yeah. We have farm to table meals." Well, when every perk becomes the same at every company, like we do it, we have an office in San Fran. When Airbnb and LinkedIn and Oracle and everybody's got the exact same perks, they become moot.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant anymore, yep. right?
No, totally.
So it then becomes, how are you challenging people? How are you growing people? And where's the stability? Because anybody can hire a tech salesperson who goes to a new job every 18 months. Let me tell you, there's
I've been
a reason.
Through a few of them, so yes, I can.
There's a reason they go to a new job every 18 months because they get figured out.
So I wasn't going to go here, and there's two. I want to make sure I accomplish two things in this
yep.
In this conversation. The first one, we're well on the way, but you brought up a good point, so I'm going to take a quick sidebar on this. When it comes to salespeople, I have this feeling, and I don't mean to marginalize millennials or put them
yep.
in a place. I am a millennial technically, although I've tried to rub it off as much as I possibly can. It's not working. There is, when your life is spent inside of a phone and you don't have interpersonal skills because
yep.
you've never had to develop them, you can't even, quite literally, can't even go to a bar and pick up a person, whatever person that might
right.
be. You can't pick them up because you're used to a swipe on an app.
Yep.
That's what you're dealing with. I think that is fundamentally the reason that salespeople, traditionally the salespeople would come up from college, start in sales, learn the ropes, learn the ground, move their way up.
Yep.
And now it's just sales pool down like the Niagara Falls.
What now you've got people, the biggest excuse I've heard when we do salespeople in San Francisco, right? And they'll go, no one has phones, so it's all email. And I go, spoken like a quitter.
Yep.
Right? Everybody has an excuse. And when
that's total. Email has never been more important than now.
Right?
There's so much junk going on around you that's the only place I do read.
Right. So you've got to get email. You've got to know when to call people. You've got to know how to follow up with people. You've got to figure out how to get their cell phone
yeah.
number, how to text, when to do it. It's the art of, I always say, it's the art of being persistent without being a pain in the you know what.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a very fine line. And salespeople, when they go, oh, It reminds me of the old Glengarry Glenn Ross, right? And it's like,
AIDA.
The leads are weak. The lead, you're weak.
You're weak.
Weak. And those are that's the difference. So when somebody says they have a new job every 18 months, oh, I was recruited away.
That's just like
everybody
I had
gets
an exit.
Recruited.
I
right.
had an exit.
You
yeah.
got recruited because you left before they figured out that you weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And good for you that you
yeah.
got 10%
Smart.
More to
yeah.
get recruited away, but you've never accomplished anything.
Yeah. It's totally true, and now my brain is just spinning with quotes from Glengarry Glenn Ross. But
I could play that game with you all day.
We could do AIDA, attention, interest, decision, action. Do I have your attention? I know I do. Interest, are you interested? Because it's or walk.
Put that coffee down.
Oh my God, coffee's for closers. So this is why I wanted to have you on the show, because I knew we could do this. So the sales thing I think is important. I think a lesson for people who are looking for salespeople. I think that is the majority. What would you look for?
Well, here's the thing I say to salespeople. When I'm interviewing a salesperson who goes, oh, I went from Oracle to Fieldglass
yeah.
to SAP, whatever it is, right? I go, well, you were there for 2 years. Yeah, what happened? Oh, I got recruited away and it was an opportunity. I was doing so well there. I go, terrific. What's the sales cycle there? How long does
yeah.
it take there? Oh, 9 to 12 months. And you were there for how long? 18 months.
So you had like
how good could
one
you
and
have
half
really
cycle.
Been? Right? The logic doesn't add up.
They must have had LaSalle Network as a recruiter to get them jobs right. like that. That's the only way they moved around. See, I can play this game. No, but it, you know, so that's important. I think in, as a person who's in the market for a tech salesperson, yeah. I have a series of little random questions. And one of the things that I've literally had to get creative, and I haven't started hiring, but I've started looking through yep. people. One of the things that I decided was I wasn't going to go the route again. I've done it before and failed of hiring random salespeople. I yep. wanted to go the route of, I know what I think it takes to market my business. I know what I think my customers want and get from my business. So I'm looking for people in the agency world that maybe were on the other side of the coin mm-hmm. that would know what my clients would want and yep. need. And then that would be the person best apt to sell it. I can teach you how to, well, I hope if you're the right fit, I can teach you how to follow up. I can give you the template of like how to start this. You can use me as a tool to access all these people that yep. you need to access. But if you don't have a fundamental understanding of how we conduct business, I really have no place for you.
The key is how people actually view sales. Because the number one reason people want to do sales is because they believe they're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, they think it's the closest to the transaction.
Right. And so what ends up happening with salespeople, when they, you have to really listen to what they say. When people go, I'm not a cold caller, I'm a relationship builder. And I say, well, terrific. But if you never ask anybody out on a date, yeah. you can't build the relationship,
yep.
right? So what are people saying and what do they really want to do? And the second thing is the ability to prospect and follow up and not be discouraged. And it ends up being that you have to say to people, tell me about real times. You have to hold people accountable. What did you get that you didn't want? What did you not get that you really wanted?
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people don't have an answer to that. Right.
No, it's so right. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got was a guy. I don't even remember. It was a guy I used to travel with my dad on sales trips all over the country. As like 6 years old, I would sit in the boardrooms with this little suit that he yeah. bought me. I can't remember who it might have been. This guy in Dallas who told me, if you don't make a list of the things you want to get, you don't know what you're working for.
Yep. And you don't know what you missed.
Yeah.
And you have to know. So you interview somebody and you go, what did you get? They go, oh, well, I really wanted to go out with this girl in college and she said no. So how hard did you try? How many times did you ask her out? Oh, just once. She said no. Well, you didn't try. You didn't. Yeah. It wasn't that important.
You didn't
to
waste
you.
Money on flowers and get thrown out of a
exactly
of a bar
right.
trying to get to
exactly
which,
right.
Which is the next point. I think that plays into at least the younger folks. If you've never had to, and if, in the interest of full disclosure,
yeah.
Going campus to campus and room to room trying to like get, you know, meet a girl and take a girl out, whatever.
Yep.
I've been rejected more times than I know what to do with. That's the
right
reason that
you.
I can be an entrepreneur, because I can be like, you hang up. I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'll call you Tuesday.
It doesn't mean anything.
Like, yeah. See you Tuesday. Like,
yep.
Whatever.
You know what we always teach? We hire salespeople. We teach them. We go, listen, don't be a racist.
Yeah.
Don't swear at anybody.
Yep.
Don't be anti-Semitic.
Yep.
Those are the only rules. You can
yep.
call up and you can say the wrong thing. You can even say our company name
yeah,
wrong.
Don't be a despicable
person. No one's
going
to remember it,
yeah.
right? But if you, as long as you're not a bad human being,
yes.
right? You can make all the mistakes in the world in sales because you have a support network, whether it's Scott Catoon
yep.
selling Technori or it's Tom Gimbel at LaSalle Network, that we're going to help you close the business when you're learning.
And the funny thing is, if you're likable,
yep.
people don't care. You can screw up a million. Like, I screw up half the calls. I'm like, I call 50 people a day. I literally don't. Sometimes I forget what company I'll write an email and I put the wrong thing in. I'm like, I send it immediately back, like, hey, you know what I'm doing, because I have, you know, you've done this, I've done this, we've made mistakes. But listen, I really do appreciate your time. I sincerely apologize. Here's some free tickets to the show. Like, just make sure you make up for your atone for your behavior.
Well, the other thing you'll hear that I think I don't like this, other people do, but people will say, oh, I sell me, I don't sell my Ugh. Company. And I always go, I don't want you to sell
I don't,
you.
Yeah,
I want you to sell
you.
My company.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if they buy from you, they quit you. You're not making the company stronger.
And if you know you're doing a good job running LaSalle, if the people who are selling your company have the same values as
you
then you can sell
it.
Both of you. You can sell you and my company.
Absolutely. I had – actually, it was the guy wasn't a good salesperson, but he did have a great line. And this is when we first started. This is 15 or 17 years ago. And he said, I'm not that great of a salesperson. He'd say this to
yeah.
prospects. I just work for an awesome company.
Yep. It's a great
right?
line.
And it's a great line.
I might
line,
steal that line.
Right? And it's like, listen, I'm not – it reminds me of that movie – you're a movie guy. Reminds me of that movie Singles. And the guy
yeah.
goes, I don't have a pickup line. And she goes, I think not having a pickup line is your pickup line.
Yeah, it's
right?
great. I work for one of the best bosses in the world. I tell you this. You gotta work with Technori. It's the best company ever. You mentioned a couple different things here, which brings to the last point I
yep.
want to make. One, congratulations on the 19-year anniversary.
Thank you.
You mentioned the fact that – you know, this is 17 to 19 years ago, and we've been talking about culture and we've been talking about values and talking about how to hire and, you know, make your family, quote unquote, be a tight knit group, but also one that is responsible and atones for itself. You had an event, a big party to celebrate this. And I think that you have a lot of parties. The LaSalle Christmas is another one that comes to mind. That I believe is obviously a huge part of why you're able to have 11 years running successful. That these people believe in a culture and that the value, it's one, that they buy into what you're doing. But the maybe bigger than that is that you're picking people who you know will buy into what you're doing.
I just actually, I just wrote a post on this on LinkedIn, and I get people, few people every time we do an event, and they'll say, not necessarily people who even work for me, and they'll say, why do you spend so much money on a party or an incentive trip for the company? Just give it to your employees. Give the money to your employees. And I said, a couple reasons. I said, number one, you're assuming that the money is in lieu of compensation that we spend on the events. Go, it's not. It comes out of company profits. We're still paying people market wages to do their job. Right? So this comes out of company profit. It's not in lieu of anything else. Number two, because this isn't just for the revenue producers. We do it for the whole company. So you build camaraderie from the accounting clerk to HR to the salespeople.
You can't build a bonus structure around people who don't have bonus jobs.
Exactly right. So you have to do some sort of collegial feeling thing. And so I said, us doing events is like universities having sports teams, right? What does football do to, you go to college to get an education.
Sure.
Now I'm not talking about the athletes, right?
Or me, for that matter.
Right. And you go there for the education and the degree, not to cheer for a football team. The football team is a sense of community that brings everybody together. You go to an apartment building to live, but you pay assessments for a condo to have the driveway plowed and to have flowers. That's what a corporate event is. It builds a community. And companies that don't invest in collegial type of environments, they miss out on the sense of community, and that's why people leave.
Yeah, I would agree. I also, I think in, you know, I think you'll agree with this, that the other thing about that is, I think a lot of times you get companies that maybe shouldn't, like, you're just not that company. You know what I mean? Like, you're just the owner, the group, the people you hire, the people your company, like, your culture just is a little stale.
Yep.
And you can still be a very successful company and grow and drive people.
You can have
like
a terrible culture and make a lot of money and be a great company.
Yeah.
Right? I always say, if you want to work at a bank, you shouldn't work for me. If you work for me, you probably won't be happy working for a bank. Right? You've got to find the culture that's right for you. And if you want to crunch numbers and close your door and work in an office all day, that's great. Go find a place like that.
Yep.
But that's just not what we are.
No, for sure. And it's interesting to me because I think that people, so as we transition out here, a lot of the startup founders that we have on the show and the companies that are doing exceptionally well, Spot Hero and companies like that, there's two types. And we talked about this actually when you're on the WGN show.
Yep.
There's two types of, there's many types of leaders and founders, but there's two types that I have found that stand out. And there's those that are sort of the break through the glass and they have a team of people to pick up and reassemble as they go through. And then there's the type that sort of are the great tool. Like I'm a massive tool for all these people to use me to get to the promised land.
Correct.
And I feel like there's an issue that takes place in why we're having companies in Chicago not grow, some of them not grow the way that they should. Is that they feel like they have to pick it, or they have to be someone that they're not, or have to be a business that they're not, that there's a model that you did that they should copy, and that's going to get them there.
I think that's, you're dead on, and I think they don't view themselves as a tool for everybody to use.
No, they say that.
And what's happened in this, Chicago's become very famous for raising money, not making money, where Silicon Valley, while still raising money, they make a lot of money, right? Yeah. I mean, you have Oracle and LinkedIn that have been there for forever, right?
Yeah.
And so, and Facebook and such. And so in Chicago, what we've started to see is some CEOs that only want to hang out with the top end of the spectrum and not with the rank and file people. And that is a huge culture buster.
It is. And I think like just the one thing I would say on that note is I do think the one thing Chicago does well, whether it was because of that or coincidence or whatever, we have more smaller exits than anywhere else. We do have a lot of companies that build these tiny things.
Exits.
And I think... Well, that's good. And I parade that. I celebrate that. It's great that we have all these different exits, especially at the stage where we're trying to get awareness and attention and keep talent here. But I also look at that, and I'm a person who always looks at, and this is pretty pathetic and glass half empty, but I always look at, like, what could have been. And I move on quickly. Like, I'm not a person who hangs on to it. But, like, I look at them like, somebody was telling me the other day, if we could have put together $20,000 for this thing that I could have gotten involved in, I could have made maybe double, triple that. And they're like, oh, but you would have lost 20. I'm like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I want the upside.
You know, we've got, if you look in Chicago at some of them, whether it's Avant and Outcome Health and SMS and some companies that are really going to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right, we've got some big ones.
I mean, there's some really good ones. And Groupon, and it might not have the luster and the culture may not be what everybody loves it to be, but it's still around and it's still a big company. And there's a lot of things that are right.
Yes.
And I think we've got to focus on that. And, you know, there's great companies that are still growing, you know, a Signal, right? And Mike Sands and what that team's building. It's awesome.
I just like to see some of these companies that end up doing the sale early, hang on and build something cool.
Yeah.
I get, like, who am I to tell you not to take an exit and take a check? I mean, you know, I don't know what it went.
No, there's less desire to build something long lasting and more desire to make money.
Because I think that probably comes down to the fact that it's hard to build a strong culture like you've done.
I think also a lot of people, it's hard to sustain.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, I got to tell you, I used to have 6-pack abs and a full head of hair, and that was last week, right?
Yeah. When I saw you last, I didn't want to say anything. Last time I saw you, you looked a little bit taller.
No, it's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah. What is your last parting words of advice for anyone trying to do their next hire?
What you've got to do is relay to your culture. The wrong thing to say to people when you hire them is act like you own the company, because they don't. What you want to say is, if you owned the company, how would you want your employees to act? And act like that.
Very cool. Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome. Tom, thank you so much for coming in. Where do people go to sign up and get involved?
You can find us at LaSalleNetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at LaSalleNetwork and follow me on Twitter for a ton of Cubs tweets and coming up on Bears season at Tom Gimbel.
When are you on the Power Lunch again? You're always on CNBC.
Hopefully we'll be on there for the jobs number. So
nice.
My travel schedule got a little messed up.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, you can catch this episode and more at technoria.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technoria or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.